The Five Secrets of a Phenomenal Business. Chapter 5, Part 1.
What comes to your mind when you think of the word marketing? For some, it's advertising. Others might think of networking, branding, or the idea of, quote unquote, getting your name out there. Of course, marketing includes those things, but marketing is actually everything you do to attract prospects to your business. Phenomenal marketing delivers a meaningful experience that engages, educates, and entertains, and a phenomenal marketing system is a group of working parts that duplicates results consistently. What kind of results? Enough of your perfect target prospects to reach your sales goal consistently. A phenomenal marketing system consistently produces your perfect target prospect. If you're attracting the wrong kind of prospect, your marketing isn't working. And if your sales are up and down because you don't consistently implement marketing, then you don't have a system. Too many business owners spend lots of time and money getting their name out there but have no real system of attracting prospects consistently. Most often, a small business owner's marketing is a gamble more than a planned effort. Congratulations for reading this book. You now have the opportunity to be one of the few who escape that trap. Regardless of the type of marketing you do, it must increase sales. Of course, the sales process will determine whether the prospect will actually buy, but that also depends on the quality of prospect you're attracting. When you attract the wrong kind of customer because your marketing isn't what it needs to be, it doesn't matter how good your sales process is. You may even close the sale, but you won't build the kind of business you want. Regardless of the type of business you're in, there are only three ways to increase sales under the sun. The three ways are, number one, increase sales from existing clients. The first and possibly the easiest way to increase sales is to get your existing clients to use your services or buy your products more often, or to use more of your services or buy more of your products. This can have a dramatic impact on your income. If you're not marketing to your existing client base, you could literally double your business with this strategy alone. This is assuming that you have something compelling and valuable to offer your past and existing clients. As you'll see, marketing to your past and existing clients is one of the most important marketing activities of all. In fact, not marketing to your past clients is what I call the biggest marketing mistake of all. But we'll get to that. It's estimated that it costs an average of 500% to gain a new client than to keep an existing one. They already know you. You already know them. They've already paid your price. They're the most likely to do business with you, assuming that you have a repeatable service, other products, and you want referrals from them. Later on, I share the reasons that this is one of the biggest secrets. This book reveals some of the strategies you can use to keep your current clients coming back for more and to keep them actively referring you. The second way to increase sales is to increase the number of clients. Speaking of referrals, the second way to increase sales is to get more clients. This is the one that people usually think of first. Most small business owners say that 85% of their business comes from repeat and referral business, yet they don't have a system in place to maintain and increase repeat and referral business. Most small business owners say they build their business through word of mouth, but they don't have a referral system in place. There are many ways to get more clients, but the best way is through referrals, and I'll show you how to put your word of mouth marketing into a phenomenal system. The third way to increase sales is to increase price. This is a powerful way to increase sales, but probably the last one that small business owners would think of. In fact, you only think of it briefly because, after all, with the economy being what it is, and so on and so forth, you may think that that's not possible. I hope to change your mind on this because when you increase your price without losing too much in sales volume, your top line increases. For example, if you raise your price 20% and lose 20% of your sales volume, you're still making more profit. If you raise your price 50% and lose 50% of your sales volume, you're still making more profit. By positioning yourself and your company differently, by creating a different message, you'll be able to continually raise your price. The beauty is you probably won't lose any sales volume. If you do lose clients, it'll be the unprofitable ones that you don't want anyway. And if you do this right, you'll quickly replace them with the clients who are willing to pay a higher price because you'll have developed a compelling experience that they want to have. Speaking of experience, I came across a term some years ago that explained what I was already doing in my marketing and explained how I was able to get the highest prices. The term experiential marketing is sort of an unusual, obscure term, but it's key to getting the highest prices for your service. In his book, Experiential Marketing, Bernd H. Schmidt states, "Today, customers take functional features and benefits, product quality, and a positive brand image as a given. What they want is products, communications, and marketing campaigns that dazzle their senses, touch their hearts, and stimulate their minds. They want products, communications, and campaigns they can relate to and that they can incorporate into their lifestyles. They want products, communications, and marketing campaigns to deliver an experience." Notice that it says, deliver an experience in the marketing campaign. Hopefully, all of us know that we must create the most unique and powerful experience when we actually serve our clients. But what this is saying is that it's created in the marketing campaign itself. Interesting. The quote goes on to say, "The degree to which a company is able to deliver a desirable customer experience," in the marketing, by the way, "and to use information technology, brands and integrated communications and entertainment to do so will largely determine its success in the global marketplace of the new millennium." Now, you may not be concerned about the global marketplace in your industry, but the degree to which we understand and implement this concept determines the degree of success we'll have in getting higher prices. What's the marketing message of most small business owners? How do average everyday businesses advertise their services or products? If your industry is like most, you'll find that the message is either about price or how they do their work. If you sell a product, it's all about the features of the product. So let's deal with price advertising first. Price advertising comes in many different ways. The most common type of price advertising is placing an ad that offers a low price. But that's not the only type of price advertising. The way you carry yourself as the business owner is a reflection of the value of your service experience. How you dress, what your company materials look like, what your office looks like, how you answer your phone. You see, you will take up a position in the marketplace just by existing. The question is whether you'll take up the position that you want to take up or not. You have to design and create your position rather than letting it happen by accident. One of the worst things you can do in marketing is advertise price before value is proven. The most common type of price advertiser is the one that advertises a ridiculously low price, never intending to honor that price, or they have one in stock at that price. In the worst cases, you could categorize these price advertisers in the bait and switch category. They bait the prospect with a low price to get in the door. Once the prospect is generated, they switch them to what they really want to sell. And in the worst cases, the company would even refuse to offer the low price service or product. Do you have bait and switch operators in your industry? Well, the bait and switch advertiser is only one of three types of price advertisers. The second is what I call the quote-unquote value choice. The value choice, unlike the bait and switch, is a legitimate business model, but has intentionally positioned itself at the lower price alternative. Think about how Southwest Airlines started as an example. They intentionally positioned themselves as the low price alternative, and they were very focused about running their business model accordingly. Not offering meals on their flights, their point-to-point routes, open seating, and the revolutionary 10-minute turnaround have all kept their costs so low they can offer a lower price and still make a healthy profit. This model doesn't work for the small business that doesn't have the scope or infrastructure that a large company has. And that brings me to the third type of price advertiser. The third type of price advertiser is the small, independent business that doesn't have the management infrastructure, the reach, the brand, and can't handle the volume of a larger company. Let's think about a plumbing company. If a plumber is a smaller operator, why would he want to match the price of the bigger operation? He can't compete with their margins. He doesn't have the management infrastructure, the capital, the brand image, and the television commercials that maybe the larger company has. His revenue is generated by his sweat. Therefore, even though the overhead is low, this person should charge more rather than less. The key is that this plumber must understand what differentiates him from the larger firm, which we'll get to in just a minute. But let's look at a comparison between the smaller operator and the larger company. Let's say that the larger company has an income statement of $5 million in sales, $2.5 million in cost of goods sold, $2.5 million gross profit. Now they have $2 million in fixed expense, which gives them a $500,000 net income. Now, if a smaller operator who billed $200,000 has the same cost structure that produces a 10% margin, he would end up with $20,000 in profit. Not cool. And that's what's happening in small businesses around the world every day. Obviously, there are a lot of variables in this scenario, but the point is that you can't compete with a larger company on price. Instead, the smaller independent business owner should charge higher prices and leverage the benefits that a smaller operator can offer. So the saddest case of all the price advertisers is the small independent business owner who just copies the big boys instead of understanding how to position themselves differently. The bottom line is that price advertising in any form attracts price shoppers, so don't do that. Now, in my printed book, I have a graphic that shows the effects of lowering or raising price. In this simplified illustration, job one or product one is priced at $200, and the cost of producing that product is $100, which would give you a $100 profit. Job 2 or product 2 offers a discount of 20%, which would make that product or service $160. Guess what doesn't change? The cost. It still costs $100 to produce that product or to provide that service. So that means your profit went down from $100 to $60. That's a 40% drop. What if you could position your company in a way that you could charge 20% more instead of 20% less? What do you think might happen? Let's take a look and see. So your job, instead of priced at $200, or your product, instead of being priced at $200, is priced at $240. What stays the same again? The cost. So if you take $240 minus $100, gives you a $140 profit instead of $100. And by the way, the difference between the profit of $60 and $140 is 2.33 times the profit. Translation, you could do half the work and make more money. Or you could do the same volume and make more than twice the money. This is a very important concept for smaller companies to understand. It's not the volume with any company. It's in the profit. It's terribly important as an independent business owner to understand this because we don't have a national brand to generate leads for us. We have an entirely different set of benefits to offer, which are worth far more. The second way that many small business owners advertise their company is, quote-unquote, how they do their work. Other than price, what could be possibly wrong with this? Let's take a look and see. Let's say that Sue Smith is a CPA, and you've been to networking groups where different business owners introduce themselves, and when Sue introduces herself at this networking group, it'll usually sound something like this. Hi, I'm Sue Smith with 123 Accounting Firm, and we do taxes. If you need anything to do with taxes, just give us a call. We do everything from soup to nuts, A to Z, you name it, we can do it. If you need anything, just give me a call. Isn't it true that just about every time you hear someone introduce themselves or you see an advertisement for a company, nothing stands out that makes them unique and different? The problem is that everyone's saying the same thing. So if you do the same thing, why should people choose you over another company, and why should they pay you a higher price? Answer, they shouldn't. This big mistake is repeated over and over by small business owners worldwide every single day. In today's competitive marketplace, it's not enough to just tell what you do or tell the features and benefits of what you do. If you want to dominate a niche, you first have to know what your niche is. Do you know that when you try to be everything to everybody, you won't be anything to anyone? You want to be a big fish in a small pond, rather than a minnow in a huge ocean. So who's your perfect target niche client? My good friend and business consultant, Ellen Rohrer, explains a simple way to find out. Think about your very best customers. You know them. They never complain about price. They always pay on time, and they're a pleasure to work with. That picture describes your target niche market. Of course, in your phenomenal marketing plan, you're going to determine what the demographics are, which is their age, gender, income, etc., and the psychographics, purchasing habits, how they buy, things like that, of your perfect target market. But bringing up that picture of your ideal client is a great place to start. If you want to dominate your marketing, you got to understand that domination is a result of something called positioning. In the classic marketing book, Positioning, by Jack Trout and Al Rees, they describe positioning as a slot in your target market's mind, much like a file in a file cabinet. To illustrate this, let me ask you a couple questions. When I say laundry detergent, what brand comes to mind first? For most, it's Tide. When I say soft drink, what brand comes to mind first? Most would say Coke. Regardless of what brand comes to your mind, the one that did is the one that occupies that slot, the file in that file cabinet of your mind. So your job as a phenomenal marketer is to have a system for positioning your company at the highest place in the mind of your perfect target market. Next, positioning and domination is a result of being unique. And I'll take that a step further by providing and marketing, by the way, a unique experience. Let's look at three brands that have done this very well. Whole Foods. They recognize the growing trend of natural food enthusiasts, that's their target market, and decided to take up a position in that space. Starbucks. They created a unique experience around coffee, a commodity that's been around for, who knows, 5,000 years? And Harley Davidson. Whether you're a biker or not, you must agree that there's a unique experience around owning and riding a hog. That could be good or bad, depending on your view. Now, being unique means you can charge more. And why do you need to charge more? Because working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just to barely scrape by is not a phenomenal life. Remember, the only reason your business exists is to be a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. Why doesn't the average person shop at Whole Foods? Because of the cost. Because it costs too much. Now, I personally love to shop at Whole Foods because I can go there and get everything that I need. Now, I pay more, but I get everything that I want all in the same place. My wife points out that I could get certain items cheaper at other places, but I'm not interested in going to three different stores to get what I need, and none of the other stores have the natural food selection that I really want. By the way, how much can you spend on a cup of coffee at Starbucks? I decided to find out. So I conducted an informal marketing survey. As I travel around the country, I go to Starbucks a lot. I walk up to the counter and I say, I want to buy your most expensive cup of coffee. Almost without hesitation, but with slightly curious looks on their faces, they typically point to the venti salted mocha frappuccino or something like that. Well, how much is it? I ask. $6.25, they respond. Then I say, can you make it more expensive? What do you mean? Like, I want to buy the most expensive cup of coffee I can. For example, could you add some shots? Well, sure. Well, how many can you add? As many as you want. I know, but the venti cup only holds a certain amount, right? Right. So they figure that up, and almost without fail, another employee comes along and says, hey, you could add some flavors. And they're quick to remind me that I won't be able to drink it, and I assure them that that's okay because I don't want to drink it. I just want to find out what the most expensive cup of coffee is. The highest priced cup of coffee I've been able to find so far was $48.23. Now, don't worry, I didn't pay that. In fact, each episode ends the same way. I've done this about 25 times around the world, and I just say, hey, you know what? Never mind. I'll just have a tall cappuccino. They didn't appreciate that after all the work that I put them through, but I always give them a big tip for playing along, and of course, they like that a lot. I recently came across a video of a guy who did the same experiment with Starbucks. He created a great video of the interaction and the actual sales receipt. Harley Davidson, our third example, they're not concerned about being the cheapest bike around, right? They've created such an experience around their brand that people are willing to pay a higher price to own one. Recently, I had a leadership retreat in Colorado Springs, and a couple that is in my Inner Circle coaching program rode their Harley all the way from Florida and built a 17-day vacation around this leadership retreat in Colorado Springs. They wanted me to come outside and see their bike, and the husband was beaming as he showed it off. Had a nice trailer, and he explained how it was top of the line and how it had all the bells and whistles and everything. And I was like, Chris, how much you got into this bike? $65,000. $65,000? I started to explain to him what kind of car he could get for $65,000, and you can sit on the inside when it's raining, if you know what I mean. But I knew that that wouldn't be a good argument for Chris because guess what? He wants that experience. He loves motorcycles. So he went on to explain that the trailer had to be custom painted. It was a top-of-line Screaming Eagle and all of those kinds of things. Now, to demonstrate how this works, let me share a concept from a phenomenal book called The Experience Economy by Joe Pyne and James Gilmore. What I learned from that book is that when coffee first hits the market as a commodity, it costs about a dollar a pound. Not much differentiation at this point other than the type of bean. Once it's packaged and appears on the shelf at the grocery store, it becomes a good. How much does a pound of coffee cost at the grocery store? Somewhere between $2.99 on special all the way up to $15 a pound. Well, what's the difference? Packaging. The brand. We went from $1 a pound to 3 to 15 times the price for packaging, for branding. It might be the same coffee inside. What's the message to you as a business owner? How's your packaging? How's your brand? Most small business owners are the face of their business. Did you know that the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you carry yourself, the way you communicate, all assigns a higher value to you and your business, or a lower value if you don't pay attention to that? So we have commodity level and we have good level. The third level is the service level. Let's say you go to Denny's and you buy a cup of coffee. How much does a cup of coffee at Denny's cost? Actually, about a dollar or two. And you can make 60 to 80 cups from a pound of coffee of that Denny's coffee. But really, at that point, you're not really paying for coffee, are you? You're paying for the service of someone to brew that coffee and make it available to you. So the price per pound at Denny's goes up exponentially. When you think about your marketing message, are you talking enough about your unique service? When you sell the benefits of a unique service rather than just the work you do or the product features, you begin to set yourself apart and can therefore charge more than the commodity going rate. Finally, the next level is the experience. This would be having a cappuccino in Italy outside of one of the historical landmarks. When my wife and I were there a few years ago, it was about $8 for a cappuccino based on where you're sitting, what the experience is that you're having. Another example of the experience level when it comes to coffee would be Starbucks. People stand in line to pay the highest prices for a cup of coffee, a commodity that's been around, again, for thousands of years. I have a picture that I took in the Baltimore airport, and there were 63 people standing in line at Starbucks. And that was just in a few minutes' time. There were literally hundreds of people that stood in that line. Now, here's a little disclaimer. The other two coffee places in that area of the airport were closed. But that's a message by itself. Why were they closed? I can only assume that management felt like there weren't enough flights going on at that time to justify running the lights. And I can just hear them saying that their employees don't like coming in that early anyway. But Starbucks understands something that other coffee places don't. They understand that those 63 people and the hundreds of people that went through that line that morning are going to walk onto an airplane with hundreds of other people with something very important in their hands. Not just a cup of coffee, but that green logo, that siren, the brand. As each person sitting on that airplane sees that green siren, it makes them wish that they had stood in line for that cup of coffee, and they might be even be thinking, hey, I'm going to attack that guy and take that cup of coffee from him. But the thing is that that logo is then tattooed on their forehead. It is on that file in that slot. So the question becomes, hey, can you do this in your small business? And the answer is, yes, you can. Here's how you do it. Several years ago, I developed what I call a 5-point experiential marketing message. This message covers what I believe are the 5 things that people will stand in line and pay you the highest prices for. When you have all of them in place and you understand how to use them in your marketing, you can literally position yourself at the top of any industry. I've done it in 3 different industries. I've helped thousands of small business owners around the world do it in many different industries. We currently coach in over 100 different industries in 7 different countries. And it'll improve your position at a minimum, and many of our clients have absolutely dominated their market. Here are the 5 points. Number 1 is reputation. There's one primary unspoken question that every prospect has about every person or company they do business with. Can you think of what it is? It's, can I trust you? That's the question. They may not verbalize it just like that, but that's their number one question. So in your marketing message, you must not only demonstrate trust, but prove that you have a phenomenal reputation. That's the first thing you must do. Number 2 is experience. The second unspoken question all prospects have about a business before they do business with you is, do you know what you're doing? I can trust you all I want, but if you don't have a clue what you're doing, what good is it? So your marketing message must also prove that you know what you're doing, that you have experience in whatever it is that you're doing. The only exception to this is if it's a new innovative product or something like that. Number 3 is education or training. The third point demonstrates that you and your people are trained or that you have specialized knowledge. It also has to do with being an educational source for your industry. And we'll cover these points in more detail in just a minute. But the thing is the people who are providing the education, if you're providing the education and the information in your industry, you'll position yourself as a consultant in that industry. That is part of the secret to positioning yourself and getting a higher price. The fourth point is systems. This point has to do with both the technical systems of your business as well as your customer service system. In other words, how will you service that client different from anyone else? What's the service experience all about? If you're providing a technical repair or maintenance type service, what's different about that service call compared to other companies? And then 5 is guarantee. The final point is to remove the risk of moving forward for the customer. The way you structure your guarantee has a great impact on your message. I'll share more about that in just a minute. Now, if you're in an industry where you can't offer a money-back guarantee, you may use something like commitment or something like this. And your reputation, the testimonials, and your brand is going to prove that out as people look into doing business with you. Now, there are two ways you can use this message. Number one is what I call the introduction version. That's a short, memorized version when you introduce yourself. You can share these five things. These are the five things that we're all about. Number two is what I call the presentation version. And this is applied to the situation, and you would use this in a sales environment or maybe a longer marketing message. So let's talk about these two versions. Number one, the introduction version is used in any case where you're in a position of introducing your company to a prospect, like the example of the CPA, Sue Smith, that I shared earlier. If someone comes across a brochure or any web page or anything that you create for your company, it should cover these 5 points. In the case of using it verbally, in the grocery store, for example, you bump into somebody who might be a prospect, you could cover all 5 points very effectively in about 60 to 90 seconds. Some people call this the elevator pitch. Instead of using language that focuses on how you do your work or price or those kinds of things that we talked about earlier, when you use the 5-point marketing message, this is going to refocus the prospect on the 5 things that set you apart. Using the 5 points, you'll be able to convey a meaningful message in a short amount of time that will set you apart and will attract the right kind of prospect. In the longer presentation version, that's used once you've generated a prospect and you have the opportunity to give them a presentation. This may be over the phone, it might be in person, but the benefit of doing a presentation is that you can then discover what their needs are and customize your 5-point marketing message to fit their needs, concerns, and desires. You'll see this again in the Phenomenal Sales Systems coming up. I call the 5-point experiential marketing message a UEP. A unique experience proposition. You may have heard of a USP, which is a unique selling proposition, in the past. But because experiential marketing is so important, I've changed that for myself to a UEP, a unique experience proposition. All right, let's talk about how to use the 5 points in detail. Number one is reputation. Let's use Starbucks as an example. They've gained a reputation of being the quote-unquote coffee experts. They did this in two ways. One, they raised some real concerns about how average, everyday commodity coffee is made. The worst stories tell how imported coffees use dirt as fillers. They share how commodity coffees use an inferior bean called the Robusta bean when Starbucks uses only 100% Arabica beans. Other coffee companies use conveyor belt roasting processes, and of course they have their own special patented roasting system at Starbucks. Commodity coffee companies use harsh chemicals in the processing that have to use things like defoamer to smooth it out. Yuck. Even though this focuses on the product, the reaction is purely emotional and questions the integrity of average everyday coffee. The emotional reaction is just what I said a second ago. Yuck. Once the coffee is ground up, how do you know what's in there? Starbucks then begins the process of educating you about their processes that produce what they call the perfect cup. Marketing your reputation is done by using what others say about you instead of what you say about yourself. My friend Joseph A. Michelli, best-selling author of The Starbucks Experience, an international branding expert who's been behind the scenes at Starbucks, Mercedes, Ritz-Carlton Hotel Company, and many other experiential brands, says this: a brand is nothing more than what people say about you when you're not around. Let me say that again. A brand is nothing more than what people say about you when you're not around. The relationships you have with your clients, people with influence in your industry, and your community will build your reputation and confirm that you can be trusted. Testimonials are powerful ways to demonstrate trust because what your clients and other important people say about you is more believable than what you say about yourself. Celebrity endorsements, for example, are a great means if you can acquire them. If you have a local celebrity who recommends you, see if you can use that person's name in your marketing. For example, one of my companies was featured on a television show by a local celebrity. Our phone rang constantly, and we soon learned that he had a radio program where he would give live endorsements in the ad. We generated millions of dollars in sales over the years from that one source alone. High-profile projects or clients also help you develop your reputation, which again translates into trust. Your involvement in community service speaks volumes. Awards and certifications are also great tools that build your reputation. Be sure to use all these things in your marketing media. What others say about you taps into a powerful human law called social proof. I was on the west side of Kauai, Hawaii one time, and the water was extremely rough, as it usually is over there. And I noticed that other people were waiting to see if anyone drowned before they ventured in. That's social proof. Social proof says, hey, if others are doing it, it must be okay. Be sure to communicate how each and every one of these marketing points benefit the client. This one's obvious. The benefit is, since you can trust our company regardless of what happens, hey, you're going to get what you paid for. You're not going to be taken advantage of. So an introduction example of reputation might go something like this. Our company enjoys a reputation that's second to none. Some of the area's most seasoned, fill in the blanks with experts in your area, refer our services exclusively. Just an example. For example, Phenomenal Products is the exclusive small business coach for the Ziegler Corporation. American legend Zig Ziegler created the most trusted name in training. Marketing point number two is experience. Communicating your experience may be the number of years in business. For example, we've been in business since 1902. That has an impact. And by the way, over 20 years is a powerful statement. If the job requires a certain method of experience or a certain procedure, you want to communicate that in your experience statement in those areas. One of the ways that our service company made tremendous progress with our positioning was by offering to tackle troubleshooting jobs that no one else wanted to touch. Anything that was weird or far out or different, I wanted to go get a peek at it. And what that did was it gave us unmatched experience in our field. We're going after things that everybody else was running from. So in just a few years, I saw more situations that I was able to learn from than my competitors will probably see in a lifetime. An introduction example of experience might be our company's been in business for over 32 years and is experienced in all types of fill-in-the-blanks, whatever you do. We'll be familiar with your situation regardless of what it is. Now, using Phenomenal Products again as an example, I started my first business out of the trunk of my car 32 years ago, and I've been helping small business owners reach their goals and dreams and build their business for over two decades. If it's happened to you, I've probably seen it more than once. I've probably experienced it and seen it and helped solve it with our clients as an example. Now, if you haven't been in business very long, focus on the areas of expertise that you do have, and you can also lean heavier on point number three. Point number three is education or training. If you're certified in your industry, you should educate your prospects and clients on what certification means to them. Certification can be a powerful marketing tool, but only if you share what it means to them. Talk about any specialized training or knowledge that you or your staff have that benefits them. And be sure to share that part of your mission is to educate them on how to navigate your industry. This sets you apart as a consultant. So let me give you an introduction example of education or training. Our company is certified by the whatever certification group it is in your industry. We're heavily involved in our industry to stay on the cutting edge of information so that we can bring that training, that expertise, directly to you so that you can make sure that you have the very best available to you. An example in Phenomenal Products, just using again that as an example, I've trained under the best. Zig Ziglar, John Maxwell, Michael Gerber, Darren Hardy. I've had all of those people actually at my events and even developed a personal relationship with many of them. Marketing point number four is systems. This is how you'll deliver your unique experience. Your customer service system will set you apart more than anything else. And the best part is that it doesn't cost much more, if anything, to provide a higher level of customer service. The key is to not just provide it, but talk about it in the marketing. Put that in your message so that you can not only deliver it, but you can market it. Usually, customer frustrations have to do with service, not necessarily the product. By tapping into the emotional distress of the typical prospect you have, you can win many new customers and clients. What are they suffering from? What are the frustrations? What are the areas where your competitors are failing to serve? Promise to fill that gap. Find the need, find the problem, and talk about how you're going to fill that gap. Be sure to explain exactly what you're going to do that's different. Let me give you a couple of examples of systems. Our mission is to provide you with the most phenomenal service experience you've ever had. We'll treat you with the utmost of respect and courtesy and deliver your service or product on time. Phenomenal Products, one of the things that we do that's different than anyone else is we create a sense of community on our small group calls, on our webcast, on our private Facebook page, at our live events. There are people there, including myself and our coaches, but also our members that are supporting, encouraging, and helping one another to become accountable. It's a community. That's what our differentiator is we are a community. Marketing point number five is guarantee or commitment. Now, many small business owners are afraid to offer a money-back guarantee on their product or service in their marketing message. But when I ask them what happens if their client isn't satisfied, they quickly point out how they make it right, including a refund if appropriate. If you want to attract high-end clients, you must understand that they expect you to back up what you do. If there's any question about that, they will not move forward in using you or buying your product. Using it in your marketing message confirms that you are the right company for them. If you're attracting price shoppers or people who just want to get something for free from you, you're attracting the wrong crowd. And that is not because you're offering a guarantee. It's due to poor positioning. Of course, you're always going to have people take advantage of your guarantee, so you factor that into your cost of doing business. Hey, if you can get more clients at higher prices because you offer a guarantee or commitment or follow-up, you can actually make more money. Don't get emotional about this. Just work with the law of averages. Of course, there are many things that you can't offer a money-back guarantee on. If you're a home builder, you can't give a refund on a house. But what you can do is build a reputation that you follow up after the sale. My wife and I actually had this experience when we built our first dream home. We had a wonderful builder who addressed every need that came up long after the home was built and signed off on. That builder knows something that all builders and all business owners need to understand. How you handle your guarantee or commitment affects your reputation. So you might imagine the 5 points being in a circle. Your guarantee is connected to your reputation. So here's an example. Our company offers 100% money-back guarantee on our products and services. If you aren't completely thrilled with the service or product experience that you receive from our company, we'll rush back to your location at no charge, no obligation to correct the situation. If you're still unimpressed, you owe us nothing and we'll issue a 100% refund. This is our guarantee at our service company, as an example. Now, I'd like to introduce you to a concept that's extremely valuable in marketing your company. It's a phenomenal tool to demonstrate your unique experience, and it's what I call the fastest growth tool on the planet because it makes it really easy for a maximum number of people to sample your service or to get on your list. What I call this method, what I call this tool, is the free trial offer. This concept gives your prime target market the opportunity to experience your product or service before purchasing it. In the best case, it's an actual sample of the product or service. For example, Chick-fil-A began to offer a free trial in the malls. Now everybody does it. Let's say you owned a residential cleaning business. You would go clean a room for free. If you have a golf club, you'll offer a free round of golf to attract new prospects. Did you know that Lexus has a free trial offer? I don't know if this is still the case, but many years ago, I found this out. When you go to the Lexus dealership and express interest in a car, they encourage you to take it home for the weekend if you don't automatically say yes and buy it. But then you're like, well, you know what? I'm not sure if I can get it back on Sunday night. And they say, hey, don't worry about it. Bring it back on Monday. Well, you know, I got to go out of town on Monday. Don't worry. We'll fill it up with gas. Take the car on the trip with you. Hey, wait a minute. What's happening here? They want you to take that car home with you because once you, quote unquote, experience how it drives, you're going to want to keep that thing. And when you see how it looks in your driveway, now you really fall in love with it. But the kicker is when your neighbors come over and begin to ooh and ah over that car, there ain't no way that dude's going back, especially if you're a male, if you know what I mean. Ladies, can I get an amen on that one? See, Zig Ziglar called that the puppy dog close. You know how it is when you bring a cute little puppy home. You fall in love with it. And I'm telling you, again, that little dude ain't going nowhere. You might offer a free consultation, a free report, a free CD, a free video, webinars, a free newsletter, something that offers tips and solutions to your prime target market's biggest frustrations and provides insights on helping them fulfill their biggest desires or solving their biggest problem. Make your free trial offer as impactful as possible. You want it to be informative, emotional, and you want to get them to buy without pressure. This is a wonderful way for people to experience your product or service in action. Instead of trying to take someone from suspect, that's someone who may or may not be a good prospect, straight to paying customer, the free trial offer takes them from suspect to prospect and allows you to do a very important thing: collect their contact information. Now you're in control of the follow-up, not them. Plus, they've raised their hand, so to speak, for more information. They're telling you, hey, I'm a prospect. I'm interested. All too often, prospects are skeptical and they want to check you out. The free trial offer is a perfect way to get them to know you, like you, and trust you. Hey, what if people take advantage of your free trial? What if you have a free trial offer and it costs you money to provide that free product or service? Or what if there's a cost in delivering or installing that product? If you're a restaurant, a free meal costs money. How do you know if they'll come back? You don't. But your goal is to create so many more clients as a result of your free trial that even if you get a few freebies here and there who take advantage of it, you're still making more money. By the way, let me give you a special note. Don't confuse the concept of a free trial with a discount. This is a completely different concept. A discount is conditional, and it causes prospects that respond to try and get a deal. They still have to buy. The concept of a free trial offer is different because it allows them to experience your product or service without risk. That's important. Anything else is just a discount. Now, if you'd like to generate an unlimited supply of the highest paying clients without expensive advertising, listen to this. Everyone agrees that word of mouth is the best advertising. Everyone knows the power in one person telling another about a service or a product. The problem is that casual referrals usually don't create a phenomenally successful business. To generate a massive number of referrals, you need a phenomenal referral marketing system. The second marketing mistake small business owners make is what I call chasing suspects. We've all been there. We chase people that might be a good prospect for us, trying to convince them that they should do business with us, and we spend a massive amount of time and energy chasing them, and nothing ever comes from it. Of course, the fortune is in the follow-up, but it's who you follow up with that's very important. We should have a follow-up system for those who are truly prospects. A suspect is someone who fits the demographic. A prospect is someone who has actually asked for more information. So use that free trial offer, build your list, the money's in the list, and have a system to follow up with them. Now here's the secret to record sales and profits. My experience of coaching thousands of small business owners around the world tells me that most small business owners are missing out on a very big secret. I'm going to share with you right now how I built my companies and how small business owners worldwide are having record sales and profits. The secret is this. Instead of chasing suspects and spending so much time following up with individual prospects, what they do is they invest time building relationships with powerful referral sources. What I mean by a referral source is a company or professional that has a relationship with an unlimited supply of your perfect niche client. For example, if you're a CPA and you get referrals from attorneys, then your referral sources would be law firms. Invest your time building relationships with attorneys who can refer an unlimited supply of your perfect niche clients. Here's a couple of examples. As I mentioned earlier, being the exclusive small business coach for the Ziegler Corporation, they're a referral source for me. There are many small business owners in my niche that are on their list. And of course, I'm also a referral source for Ziegler. Who needs Zig Ziegler products? Everybody. All of my clients need their products. Not too long after I began teaching my systems to small business owners, I approached a large supplier that had thousands of small business owner customers across the nation. We put together a joint venture and I traveled to all their stores all over the country, and they made sure that the small business owners were there to learn from me. The first business I started is a high-end service company that cares for oriental rugs, natural stone floors, and things like that for some of Houston's most prominent citizens and celebrities and world leaders, names that you would recognize. I built it by building relationships with top flooring people, interior designers, and high-end real estate agents. They refer their clients to us to this day exclusively. My first book was an Amazon.com number one bestseller because I coordinated a launch with a dozen affiliates that promoted my book to their list. And I've done that three more times since then. All four of my books have been number one on Amazon in at least one category. Why? Because I know a lot of people? No, because other people who support me have people on their list. No matter what it is that you're doing, you need to find the referral source that can market you, refer you to their clients. My definition of referral marketing is the process of building a network of sources that can refer multiple clients to your business. Now, I want to share with you the top 10 reasons referral marketing is so effective. Number one, your network is unlimited. As you begin to build relationships with powerful referral sources and you get your clients to refer you, the network continues to grow with no end in sight. The second reason is you get higher quality clients. I call these Mercedes clients. Mercedes clients, high-end clients, seek out a referral, and just by that very nature, you get a higher quality client just from being referral-based. Referred clients usually don't even ask about the price. They're more concerned about quality than price. Number three, pre-qualified clients. By educating your referral sources, your prospective clients will be pre-qualified. Therefore, they'll already know more about you. They'll know that you charge more than other people, and they'll be ready to buy. Why? Because of number four, people trust referrals. Would you agree that someone who's referred to you by a referral source they trust already has a level of trust for you? Of course. They trust you because the person they know trusts you. Number five, reduces competition. With referral marketing, you're no longer fighting for the best ad placement or page placement. You're no longer getting copied. Relationships are hard to duplicate. And by the way, most people won't go out and do a good job building relationships. This is your opportunity to reduce your competition. Number six, low cost. With the right referral marketing system, you won't spend money on expensive advertising. The cost is very low for referral marketing. Even if you have a referral reward program, which I highly recommend, the cost is still extremely low compared to most advertising. Number seven is high returns. The returns can be huge. In many industries, a 4-to-1 return on advertising dollars invested would be outstanding. In other words, if you invested $1,000 in advertising, you'd get an average of $4,000 in return. With referral marketing, even if you pay a 10% referral reward and everyone cashed in on it, you'd have a 10-to-1 return. In my referral reward program, I actually get a 20-to-1 return. And the reason for that is less than half of the referral reward certificates are ever redeemed. Number eight, returns are guaranteed. With a referral reward, you don't pay until after the product or service is paid for. With traditional advertising, you put your money on the line and hope for a return. Number nine is a small time investment. The biggest objection I get to referral marketing is time. Well, let me introduce you to point number 10 to overcome that challenge. I call this exponential multiplication. I know those are big words for somebody from Alabama, but especially lower Alabama. But would you be interested in how investing just a few minutes a day doing something really fun would give you a return of over $10,000 in new business each and every month after 6 months? Of course you would. Even though I can't guarantee this, I've seen it happen many, many times. Here's what I discovered with referral marketing. If you invested just 30 minutes a day calling on powerful referral sources, those are companies that are in a position to refer you on a regular basis, do you think it's possible to generate maybe $1,500 in new business, new referrals in a one-month period? Sure, not hard. What I discovered about referral marketing is that once you win the confidence of a referral source, they will continue the habit of referring you, unless you give them a reason not to. You'll then continue to develop new referral sources each and every month to the tune of $1,500 per month. All told, at the end of 6 months, you would be at over $10,000 a month in new referred business. This is how I built my first company from the trunk of my car into a multi-million dollar enterprise. I still use this method today. Of course, I have referral marketing reps that run my referral marketing systems for me. This is how I built a phenomenal training business and the reason you're listening to this book right now. It's the same method I've taught countless small business owners around the world. They're having record sales and record profits because of it. Finally, it will work for you too if you'll take the time to understand it and to implement it. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you agree that all of business and all of life is about relationships? You bet. So the idea here is to build relationships with potential referral sources. By adding value to them, they will add value to you. Have you ever heard it's not what you know, it's who you know? Well, over the past 32 years in business, I've learned that all of business is about relationships. And by the way, it's not just who you know, but it's what you know about who you know. And it's not about who you know, but it's about who knows you and what they know about you. That's called positioning. My good friend Bob Berg, best-selling author of The Go-Giver, says that people do business with those that they know, like, and trust. Are you actively building phenomenal relationships? Are you just relying on casual word of mouth or advertising to get customers? How much time do you invest in business relationships? Or are you kind of stuck in your business? In today's digital world, we're more connected but more isolated than ever before. I personally love social networking. I love being on Facebook, and I love to make connections there. But I also realize the importance of connecting face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, belly-to-belly with people, because nothing can replace that. A virtual community is an oxymoron. The late Zig Ziglar said you can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what it is that they want. I used to tell him that he stole that from Jesus because Jesus said, give and it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He just laughed and said, well, I know him personally, so that'll be okay. Now, it may not come from the same person, but my experience has shown me that if you give people what they want, they'll be more apt to give you what you want. My other good friend, Jim Cathcart, best-selling author of Relationship Selling, best-selling book, says relationship selling is becoming an asset to others before they become an asset to you. So when you want to build a relationship with someone who can benefit your business, find out what they like, find out what they want, find out what they need, and simply be the one to give it to them. Best-selling author Jeffrey Gitomer says, all things being equal, people would rather do business with a friend. All things being not so equal, people would still rather do business with a friend. You see, you can have higher prices and a longer wait, but your referral sources will still support you because you're a trusted friend and advisor. While others are begging at the front door, trying to get past the gatekeeper, you're being graciously invited through the back door. If people don't know about you, they obviously can't use you or refer you. If they don't like you, they don't use you or refer you unless they absolutely have to. And if they don't trust you, they won't use you or refer you. Finally, building relationships requires leadership on your part. My good friend and mentor, John C. Maxwell, the number one leadership expert in the world, says that leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. We all have influence in someone else's life. How do you gain influence? By adding values to others. John says if you don't add values to others, you devalue them. Add value to them, and they will add value to you. Remember, all of business is about relationships. You can know everything that there is to know about the technical part of your business and be broke. Not to say that being technically savvy isn't important. It is. But you can be the most technical person in the world and be broken in debt and not have a phenomenal business. To build a phenomenal referral marketing system, you need to understand networking and how to build rapport quickly. First, dress well. Did you know that people make 11 important assumptions about you in the first 30 seconds of meeting you before you even open your mouth? First impressions do last, so you want to make it a good one. My personal view is that this is an area where many small business owners and professionals are failing. We've become so casual in our culture that we aren't even aware of the impact of dressing professionally. You'll learn in the leadership chapter that leadership is influence. You influence others in how you dress, how you groom yourself, positively or negatively. My goal is to always be dressed sharp without overdoing it. If you're going to build powerful business relationships, you need to look like a business person. If you're a man, wear a sport coat. Wear a tie from time to time. If you're a woman, wear a dress or a nice pantsuit. Make sure that your clothing is professionally pressed, your shoes are shined, your accessories are appropriate. Your hair should be well-groomed, your fingernails clipped and clean. Be clean-shaven and keep some breath mints with you at all times. No one likes spending time with someone whose breath could melt butter. I'm just saying. Always have business cards or brochures with you. Don't go anywhere without business cards. Keep a stack in your pocket, a stack in the car, and keep an extra supply wherever you keep your car keys. When you meet people, always get their card. It's much more important for you to get their card. Why? Because there's no guarantee that they're ever going to call you, so you need to follow up with them. Next, be gracious. When you're in a networking environment, you're not there for you. You're not there to eat and take advantage of the food and drink. You're there to build relationships. So prefer others before yourself. Be polite and kind. Be positive and likable. Avoid getting into negative conversations. Sometimes you'll run into people at networking groups who want to talk about the weather, or they want to complain about the food at the networking event or whatever. Keeping in mind that you're not there for you, avoid these conversations. They're not productive and they bring everybody down. Don't stand in the corner all alone. Instead, identify those who could be powerful referral sources for you and strike up a conversation. When you begin speaking with them, instead of being anxious to share what you do, show interest in what they do. Find out as much as you can about them and their business. This will come in handy when you get to talk about your business. People love nothing more than to talk about themselves and their business. In fact, a great exercise is to practice asking as many questions as possible without saying anything about yourself until they ask. Once they ask, that means they'll listen closer to what you have to say. By the way, when you're doing this exercise, listen emphatically instead of halfway listening. That's called selective listening. Listen closely to what the other person is saying. Use nods and positive affirmations to let them know you're interested in what they're saying. Even if you aren't, you should be, at least from the standpoint of how you'll build a professional relationship with this person. Try to discover ways during that conversation that you can help them with their business and add value to them. Remember why you're there. You're there to build your business, to build relationships, to find out how you can help others so they will in turn help you. You are not there for personal reasons. Keep your goals in mind and make your networking investment worthwhile. Now, after you meet someone, you want to follow up with them. Immediately put their name and address into a database. Every card that you gather, immediately put the information into a database. If you're strapped for time, hire a college student or a high school kid to do data entry for you. Then follow up immediately by sending a nice to meet you card or something like that, or an info pack. You should develop some sort of info pack that shows why prospects should use you over someone else. Mail something to them every month. Depending on your business, you should be mailing something every month, emailing a client newsletter every week, and sending something to your prospects on a regular basis so that you can develop repeat business, referrals, and secure your position as the obvious choice. Put them on your calendar to follow up the next week or whenever you told them you would call. Remember, the fortune's in the follow-up, but also remember that your goal is to make so many contacts that you don't have to chase individual suspects to survive. When you're networking, as I mentioned, you're looking for not only end users, but also referral sources. So I want to talk a little bit about that. Once you've identified who your referral sources are, what you want to do is go in and look at all the company types that have referred you in the past or the individuals who work at certain companies and create a profile of the type of referral source that's best for you. So go back and look at all the people who have referred you, all the companies, not end user clients necessarily, but companies that have referred you. And what industry are they in? Now you can tap into that industry and figure out who your best referral sources are. The second thing you want to do is create a referral reward system. Once you have that system in place, now it's time to make a visit to their office or their store. And there's one secret strategy that will do more for your referral relationship program than anything else. What is this powerful secret? Food. Yes, food. In particular, donuts, chocolates, pizza, lunch, candy, or snacks. Food is the international language that everyone understands. Food is the one thing that can gain the attention that you can't get any other way. The reason is that feeding someone taps into the law of reciprocity in a deep way that says, if you give me something, I give you something. Now, the reason that food goes deeper is because it penetrates our most primal, primitive makeup. If you feed me, I owe you. If you give me a treat, I owe you at least a couple minutes of my time. Remember the 5-point marketing message from earlier. What a great time to share it. While they're partaking of the delicious brownies or candy you just brought, you can share that 5-point marketing message and share how you're different. If you walk in the door with just sales materials, what's their posture? Busy. Too busy to talk. But if you walk in the door with a box of Krispy Kreme donuts, they'll listen to every word you have to say. It's amazing, and I've seen it work over and over and over. Now, I first learned this from my wife, Denise. She's in radio sales, and I noticed that she would take her clients milk and cookies in the afternoon. She would bring them lunch. She even had a company that made custom chocolate bars, and she had the client's logo branded on that chocolate bar. Just about every night, she's wrapping gifts for clients and people in her network. All of the closets in our house are jammed with gifts that don't belong to anyone yet. She buys things as she sees them, and when there's a need, the wrapping begins. I finally got it one hot summer morning when she was walking out the door to go to work with a laundry basket full of things for the pool, like squirt guns, goggles, and flip-flops. Where are you going with all that stuff? I asked her. Oh, well, a lot of my clients have kids, so I'm bringing them stuff for the pool. I'm like, So I decided to try it out. There was a large potential referral source that I'd called on 11 times. Yes, 11 times. I had really nice brochures. I had a nice introduction, but I didn't have the secret weapon. I wasn't using the secret weapon. Every time I went into this place, I got the same response, a stiff arm that came up along with, we're real happy with the people we're using right now. Thanks for coming by. But this time was different. Why? Because I went to the grocery store and I bought a little box of chocolates for $2.99. I walked in, and a lady down the hall noticed me come in. I introduced myself, and she responded with the same stiff-arm answer. She obviously didn't see the chocolate, so I said, but I brought chocolates, with a little smile on my face. And you should have seen her body language change. It went from the Nazi stiff-arm to standing in front of me, holding that box of chocolates, almost close to her heart. I could almost hear her thinking, who is this nice man bringing me chocolates? Within 7 days, we began getting referrals from that company, and they became a consistent referral source from that point on. I have clients all over the world that have dramatically increased their business by hundreds of thousands of dollars just starting off with this simple strategy. I had one client early in the years that I started teaching this stuff. He increased his business $30,000 a month just by making Friday donut day. He and his wife loaded up the truck with a branded box of donuts every week and went out to see as many referral sources and commercial accounts as they could that day. I ran into him at a conference, and he told me that it continued to work so well that he's now got other people doing that on a regular basis. And that's the case with us as well. I think about one of my early clients, John Torres, who went from zero to $11 million last year just doing referral marketing on a very high-level basis. I could write a whole book on food stories, but let me give you one more that's instructive about an auto repair shop called Freedom Automotive. My service company has a nice, clean fleet of vehicles parked outside. Freedom Automotive obviously noticed that fleet, and one day a box of donuts showed up and a little card from Freedom Automotive. The next week, another box of donuts. After about the fourth or fifth week, I noticed my operations director walking down the hall with a fistful of donuts and Freedom Automotive's card and said, "We should at least give them a call. I mean, after all, they might stop sending us donuts if we don't, right?" So we call Freedom. They come to the office, they give us this presentation. We found out that they charge more than the shop we currently used. "Yeah, but the shop we use, they don't even say thank you. I don't think they even care about us." We argued amongst ourselves. In Freedom's presentation, they showed us how following their maintenance plan, even though we invested more, would actually save us money in the end. So who do you think that we've used for the last 25 years? Freedom Automotive. I know what you're wanting to ask me. Do they still bring donuts? Yes, they still bring donuts. Find out what your major accounts and your referral sources like and take it to them. Maybe other people are doing donuts. You need to do something different. If they like Dove bars, take Dove bars. If they like chocolate-covered espresso beans from Starbucks, bring those. We have all of our existing and potential referral sources on a route. Every month we deliver cookies, pies, cakes, or whatever, and we have a number of other food strategies too. For example, we cook breakfast for our referral sources. We hold referral appreciation lunches and many more things to bring people together that are referral sources. What if your referral sources aren't local? You can ship stuff. There are a variety of gourmet food baskets online that you can order from. Recently, a man who owns a franchise became a client of ours, and they make candy bouquets. I use a program called Send Out Cards, which I consider to be one of the greatest marketing tools of all time, which I'll talk about later. And with Send Out Cards, you can send along cookies, brownies, and many other gourmet food items with that card. Let me ask you a question. Have you noticed that people not only like food, but they also like money? Well, Zig used to say, well, money isn't the most important thing in life, but it is reasonably close to oxygen on the gotta have it scale. When you gotta have it, you gotta have it. What I found is that when people say that they don't care about money, they lie about other things too. So to maximize your referrals, you should definitely offer a referral reward program. I've talked about this earlier. You're going to get more referrals and your advertising dollars will go down. Sure, you can get referrals without a reward, but you're going to get much more if you offer one. Plus, offering a referral reward gives you something to talk about. If you don't offer a reward of some kind, it really makes it hard to ask for referrals without appearing selfish. Remember, everyone listens to the same radio station, WIIFM. That stands for What's in It for Me. A good referral reward program offers anyone who refers a new client to you a reward. You offer cash or products and services. For example, Susie refers Bob, who's a new client. Bob spends $500 with you, and your referral reward is 10%. You mail a referral reward certificate to Susie for referring Bob for $50. She can then redeem that certificate for services, or she can cash it in. It's best, by the way, to give them a choice. It can also be a flat fee instead of a percentage of sale, if you like, but make it significant. Now, Susie refers this wonderful referral reward certificate, and she can decide whether she wants to redeem it, throw it away, or give it to someone else. Here's where it gets interesting. The certificate is just like cash and can be given to a favorite charity, a friend, or whatever the person wants to do with it. Susie doesn't want to take money from you. She doesn't need your product or service right now, but she has another friend who does. So now Susie refers Kathy. Kathy calls you up or walks into your store and says, "Hey, can I use this certificate for $50? You bet. Now, Kathy spends $500 with you. You take $50 off for the certificate. Now her bill is $450. But she's a new client referred by Susie. And Susie now gets another certificate for $45 for referring Kathy. Does Susie have more friends? You bet she does. Now, at this point, you're probably thinking, boy, that sounds like a lot of money you're giving away. Well, let me ask you this question. Do you know what it costs you to gain a new client? For example, if you invest $1,000 in advertising, would you be happy with that $4,000 in initial return? If the answer was yes, that just cost you 25% to gain that new client. Aha. But Howard, I already get referrals, you might say. My experience has been implementing this with business owners around the world is that you'll get more referrals. And by the way, even if you didn't, don't people deserve a reward for going out of their way to support your business? Of course they do. Our experience in most small businesses is that less than 50% of the certificates never get cashed for one reason or another. You'll also want to put an expiration date on the certificate. We use a one-year expiration. How much should you offer? Well, determine what your new client acquisition cost is and go from there. We do a 10% referral fee in my service company. Anyone who refers a new client gets a referral certificate for 10% of the first job. After that, the referred client is a repeat client. Less than half of the certificates ever get redeemed, so I'm only spending 5% to gain a new client. By the way, that's a 20-to-1 return on advertising dollars. What's more impressive is that the referral rewards we actually pay out are less than 1% of our total revenue, and many of them are redeemed for services, which cost me about 60% less than actually giving the money out. So you can offer a percentage or a flat fee, but you must make sure that it's attractive enough for people to take the extra step to refer you. Is everyone motivated by money? No. Can everyone accept a reward? No. Some industries have rules against referral rewards or commissions. Therefore, we put on our certificate, if you have a conflict of interest or cannot accept this reward, please pass it on to your client or someone else. Simply put, here's how our referral reward program works. We promote it on everything that we print, everywhere we go, anything we do, by saying get free cash or free service with our referral reward program. Every time a new customer buys from us, we have a system of recording how they were referred. They're tagged as being referred by that particular person. We then have a process of sending referral certificates out, and it's as simple as that. I'm sure you have more questions about a referral reward program, but my challenge is I don't have enough space and time in this book to teach you all the ins and outs of a proper referral program. Also, getting the details right will be the difference of it working or not. So go to our website, Find out how you can get our training programs and how you can create your own referral reward program for your business. One final note. If you offer a referral reward, be sure to honor it and pay it promptly. The worst thing you can do is promote a referral reward and fail to pay it.